Is there a little switch here to turn off this light?
Yeah, right underneath the microphone. Press
that in. Oh, I got one here. Is this? That's not right. What is it? Oh, the button. Yeah. All right, I got it. Thanks, Sam. That's what gave it away. Well, good morning. My name is Will Henning, and
hi,
guys. It is great to be back. Let me see here. I was here probably a year ago. Was it a year? It had to be more than a year. It was cold. Every time I come here, the weather is miserable. Actually, today's not so bad. I wasn't here on my birthday. No. Is that how I spent my birthday? Was here? Man. I was here Super Bowl Sunday. That was with the last time I was here. What was that, mid-February? Is that when Super Bowl was? Is it next week? Is Super Bowl next week? All right. Yeah. I was here in the morning, not the evening. I thought ahead. Well, whenever I was here, even though it's been a while, thank you so much for having me again. And it's really great to catch up with everybody and to see Don and see Carl and Danny and Chris and the whole gang. And we always love to make it out here, Hannah and I. And things are going very well in East Lansing. The Lord is really just at work in our little assembly. I wouldn't say we're much bigger than you guys, and we probably have... I'd say at least 10 kids under the age of 5 floating around Sunday morning. So we are very busy with that. Hannah's busy with what's called CEF, Child Evangelism Fellowship. We are about half a mile from the chapel we attend, Carriage Hill Bible Chapel in East Lansing, Michigan. And Carriage Hill is right across the street from Donnelly Elementary. And there is no kids program or Bible program at Donnelly Elementary. So Hannah and some of the ladies have joined this group that goes into elementary schools and does after-school kids programs. And they started that. They got permission to do it, and that took some paperwork and some okays from some higher-ups. But they finally got in, I'd say probably at least 3 or 4 months ago, and they do that weekly, and there's a great turnout. They usually have about 15 or so kids, and just involved with a lot of different things like that, Bible study fellowship and Bible studies and kids club. We get a good turnout for our kids club on Wednesdays. So things are going very well. We've got our 3 little kiddos. There's Liam, Moira, and Ruthie. Ruthie just turned 1 about a week ago, so we had her little birthday party yesterday. So we're very busy, kind of just straightforward, having kids, working, things like that. But things at the Carriage Hill Bible Chapel are going very well. The turnout is good, and they're involved in a lot of different activities and ministries and things like that. So it's very fun to be part of, and we're very happy, and we're happy to be here. Well, let's see here. Carl, do you live in an apartment?
No.
You live in a house? You like your house? What do you like about it?
It's warm and cold.
That's nice. It's warm. You can't be living in a cold house. That's not very fun. Sam, mm-hmm. Did you put your offer in on your house last night?
Yeah, it sure did.
Everything go well?
Well, we're going to find out.
Have you heard back from them yet?
No, not yet.
Oh, okay. That would have been impressive. So you're looking for a house, and you're going online, and when you go online, Sam... What do you put in? What are you doing to find a house? How do you narrow your search?
Put my price range and look for 3 bedrooms. 3 bedrooms are nice. And a good perk is to have a fireplace, but not a necessity.
Okay, so the price has got to be right, and you want some amenities would be nice, you know, if the appliances were there, the stove, the microwave, maybe they got a fireplace, a nice backyard, something like that. Danny, what about you? Danny here in the back?
Yep.
Danny, you got a house, don't you?
Yeah.
What do you like about your house? Why'd you buy your house? Why did you buy your house?
I built it.
Oh. Even better. So why'd you build your own house?
My home was too small. I was at a busy road and I had kids. And a wife.
And so you decided, I want to do it. I want to do it myself, or I want it done the way I want it done. And that's why you chose. Well, those are all fantastic reasons to like a house or like an apartment or build your own house. But most everything mentioned is fairly easy to replace. You want it warmer, you put in a furnace. You know, you want different appliances, you go out and you buy new appliances. A lot of that can be changed. I sold real estate, and in fact, I still work in real estate for a long time. And one thing you cannot change, or you can change at great, great cost and expense, is the foundation. And nobody looks at the foundation. Well, most nobody looks at the foundation. But a foundation is paramount to the success of your home and the sturdiness of your home. And any smart investor that I've sold to will walk in and they'll examine the house and there will be busted windows, there'll be missing shingles, the soiled carpet, but the foundation will be solid. And they'll say, I can work with this. I can work with this house. What you can't work with is a bad foundation. I think of one house in particular I had in Georgia, outside of Macon. And it was a nice little house and a nice little subdivision. And anyone that drove by would be very pleased with it, very average looking house. And I got the property to sell and everything was going well. And I got a call from our real estate agent, and he said, we've got a problem. And I said, what was the problem? He said, well, we wanted to do some work on the flooring. We had approved a bid to put in some new carpet or change out a toilet or something like that where you had to get into the ground. It wasn't anything major. And he said, the guys went in, and they took out the toilet, and there was a little hole, and they peeked down in the hole, and the foundation is shot. He said they have gotten in there and it was built poorly and you don't see it from the outside, but when you go underneath the surface, it's in very poor shape. In very, very bad shape. It's all but destroyed. And what was a house that we were looking to sell for $100,000 quickly became one that we tried to dump as fast as possible. And just chop the price in half because we wanted to get that out of here. Because we knew that foundation was going to kill our chances at any success. So we basically just wanted to get it off our books as fast as possible. In fact, our house even has a little bit of a story like that. We bought a foreclosure about 4 years ago in a very nice neighborhood, very nice size. Everything about it was wonderful. It had a lot of broken windows, old appliances. There was a hot tub from the mid-70s in the backyard that was pretty great back in the day, but it was pretty shot. And the price was awfully attractive, awfully attractive. And you go, well, nobody makes it that nice without a reason. And we went in there, and we found out what that reason was. And not the whole house. The main portion of the house was fine, but the Four Seasons room, It had the foundation underneath it had collapsed. Well, it'd be actually the underpinning, but the room, the floor literally went like this, like a big U. And you could put one of the kids' toys at the top and it would go down and then back and down and then back. And we fixed it. You know, we had to rip up the flooring and the subflooring and, you know, put down new joists to stabilize it. But I mean, that was the clincher. They wanted to get rid of this because they knew that bad flooring and that you weren't able to stand on it was detrimental. And it was a huge undertaking to correct it. Huge. And they wanted to get rid of it at any cost. So we were willing to, you know, for the right price, we were willing to take it on. But you needed that firm foundation to be successful in a house. You want a firm house, you have a firm foundation. Well, that is true not only of housing, but also of our spiritual lives. In Proverbs 24, verse 3, it says, "By wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it is established." You see, in your spiritual life, you need a good foundation. You need to know what you're building on. And there's a proper order to it. You have the foundation, and then you build on top of it. I have a good friend of mine that I work with that is not yet trusted in the Lord, but I meet with him weekly for Bible studies, and he's very convicted of sin and just very, very alert of spiritual things. And I told him, you want to start off by reading the book of John. Well, why do you want to start reading the book of John? John lays the foundation for what the Bible is about Jesus, about getting to know him. I said, then after that, you can read other books and Revelation and other things that are all good and well, but you need to have that firm foundation. And if you don't have that foundation, you're not going to understand, and other things are not going to be as profitable to you. Well, what I'd like to do is read a small passage from Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And this is a story that's very familiar to us. This parable is mentioned in Luke as well as Matthew. And it's in Matthew chapter 7. We're going to be looking at verse 24 through the end of the chapter. The Lord speaks here. He says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell and the floods came, and winds blew and slammed against that house. And yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock." Verse 26, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and does act on them everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." When Jesus had finished these words, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority and not as the scribes. And this parable should not be too surprising for us. The Lord Jesus was a carpenter by all means, and we don't know what he made, but I'm sure he either built a house or had a working knowledge of it, as did most people in that time. So he gave a story that people could understand, and that's what a parable is. A parable is using earthly things with a spiritual meaning behind them. Examples, water he uses, and a lost sheep, a shepherd. These are things that people can understand. And the people can understand, I can understand, a house. And what he does is he breaks it up into two categories. He said, well, there's the positive. There's the person that builds on the rock. And then to give the reverse of that, we're going to give you the negative, and there's the foolish man who does not build his life on the rock. And what he's doing is he's looking back at the whole sermon he gave. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. That's where you find the Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit, turn the other cheek, meet with your brother before the day is done if you're in a dispute with him. I mean these things that are very challenging to your life. If you read the passage, it's very convicting. It's very strong. And Matthew records it at some length. It's all of chapter 5, all of chapter 6, and all of chapter 7 up until he gives this story. So the Lord has given what we know in our Bibles to be over 111 verses, this sermon is. All convicting, one after another. Boom, boom, boom. One challenge after another. And he looks back at it and he says, well, here is why you should do it. Everyone who hears these words will and is wise will act upon them and be like the man upon the rock. So let's look at that. Everyone will hear these words. Now, maybe it's not the Sermon on the Mount, but everyone will hear the words of the Lord Jesus at one time or another to some extent. I believe this passage is really mainly talking to Christians. But you ask yourself, everyone who hears these words, well, how can I hear the word of God? I need to be instructed on how to build, you know? There's the two part. There's the hearing and understanding, and then there's the acting upon it. Well, to build, I need to first learn about it and understand it. And then once I understand it, I need to actually act upon it. So how can someone hear the word of God? How can they understand that? Well, do you read your Bible? Do you read it on a daily basis? I mean, that is God's instruction book. That's his instruction manual, his owner's manual on how to live your life, is the word of God. Are you reading that? Are you understanding it? It's crazy to think that you could build a foundation or build a house or do anything without first understanding what needs to be done. And one of the best ways we can do that is to read the word of God, to read the Bible, to read it daily. Are we filling our heads with spiritual things? We may be listening to Christian music or reading Christian books or things like that support us in our faith. Are we fellowshipping with other Christians? Do we attend church where we can encourage each other and benefit from each other's company and Bible studies and things like that? And having an exposure to the Word of God, being around that truth, being around Christian things will affect our life. One of the elders at our chapel, Ken Foote, gave a message a few weeks ago, and I thought it was really interesting. And he talked about there being a time for deliberate study and concentration and shutting things off and looking in deeply to the Word of God. But he said, you know, even if you aren't doing that all the time, when there's the nooks and crannies, just have it on in the background. And a great example, he said, is you're driving to work. You can't read it and memorize it, or maybe it's very difficult when you're in traffic, but have a sermon on in the background, as opposed to the radio. And maybe it's not a direct teaching that you're heavily involved with, but it's exposure, and it's in the background, and that truth is just being reinforced bit by bit in your life, and maybe you hear a little four-second segment of it, and he says, you know, the guy in the background giving the sermon that you have on CD says a little something, and it's just sort of there. It's part of your life. You need to have that exposure to the Word of God and to spiritual things to learn more about it. I mean, think about any other skill in life. What do? You read books on the subject. You attend conferences where they instruct you about it. And you have a mentor. You have a business mentor that you talk about problems at work or scenarios that you need assistance with. You have a mentor. Any wise student has a mentor that they can meet with on a regular basis and glean from their maturity. You read books on it. You attend conferences. And you work over the material and over the material again and again and again till you know it. And that's exactly what we need to do with the Bible. We need to be exposing ourselves to it, and we need to be hearing it. And I think when the Lord Jesus says, "He hears my words," that he's talking about actually listening, not just glossing over it. So how do you interact with the material? You ask questions. That's how you engage in it. You engage in the information. What does that mean to me? What do you think he means by that? Is the Lord trying to convict me of a sin in my life? Is the Lord warning me of something I should be aware of? But you're interacting with it and you're really understanding it. And the more you understand the Word of God, Christian, because I believe that's who he's talking to, you will be better equipped to act upon it. So first of all, you need to hear the Word of God, but it requires an action. James chapter 1 in verse 22 says, "But prove yourselves doers of the Word and not merely hearers who delude themselves." Many people know that it's good to eat vegetables, like meat, and understand that it is the healthy choice. But doing it is so hard, you know? It's just, they don't last. I mean, you have a vegetable and it's gone in like a second. I mean, it just doesn't fill me up at all. I used to bring a bag of carrots with me, like a little bag, during work, and it was like, why am I eating this? It doesn't fill me up. You know, anyway, I'm getting off subject. But there's understanding it. Then there's actually acting upon it. Every stinking time I go to the dentist, are you flossing? No. You know you got to floss. I know. Here's some floss. I'll do better. And I brush my teeth. Man, I brush my teeth faithfully. But I am just bad at flossing, but I know perfectly well it is the right thing to do. And there's a million other examples like that in life. But understanding and grasping it and reading the books and mentally agreeing with the material and having an understanding and a working knowledge of it is very impractical and not very useful if you don't actually work on it and you don't actually do something with it. And there is a challenge to doing stuff. Man, did you ever notice that? Doing things is hard. It is a lot easier to read a book at home and not actually do it. And that's what makes it hard. I think a lot of people hit this first mark, but they don't actually hit the second mark where they act upon the Word of God. And it's tough. Some Sundays to wake up and it's cold and I got to drive all the way to Detroit, you know? And there's a challenge to it. There's a working at it. The Bible talks about it, fighting the good fight, running the race, comparing it to athletics. And in many ways, that's true. There's a self-denial and a discipline to it, and it takes building. Building upon the sand is easy. It's probably in nice weather. You know, probably can cut a lot of corners. There's a lot of things you can do, but man, building on the rock, actually understanding the Word of God and putting it into action, it's hard. It's hard to have a good foundation. And a lot of times you don't really feel the immediate rewards of it. You know, digging through that dirt and digging through the rock and all the time and effort, you wonder, is this actually going to pay off? You know? But the Bible tells us that it will. And it will because your foundation is going to be tried. And he doesn't say, maybe storms will come. There's a chance. Possibly. He says, and when the storm comes. So why do people not build upon the rock? Well, they miscalculate the weather. They assume it's going to be nothing but sunny days. I'm a Christian. Nothing bad could happen to me. I won't suffer any trials or hardships or medical problems, things like that. But that's not true at all. That's not true at all. The Lord said, if you actually come and follow me, you're going to suffer more persecution. All who want to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So you're going to actually probably go through a lot more storms in your life by being a Christian. But the storms will come. Anyone can build when the sun is shining, but we need the storms to test our foundation. And storms will come. There can be personal loss, you know, a loss of a loved one or medical problems, things like that. There could be sickness or death, financial strains, or it could be the opposite. Your storm could be prosperity, could be financial strength. And you begin to think, I don't need the Lord, or, you know, the spiritual stuff really isn't important. And it might come in a different way. Always think of a storm as a trial, and a trial as being a something bad that's happening to your life. But a trial could come in many different ways where it tests your strength to rely on the Lord. And many times when we're going through hard times, we're inclined to trust the Lord. But when things are going very well, natural man tends to not think about God. So a lot of times these storms might come in great prosperity. And you're going to need that firm foundation to continue to hold on to the Lord. There's a story here I wrote down from 1992 when Hurricane Andrew hit South Florida. There was a man... there was a subdivision that was torn to pieces, just ripped apart. But there was one house that looked almost completely untouched. It was not affected at all, or very, very little, minimal damage. And they had a local news crew out there, and they interviewed this man and said, "Whoa, what happened? Why is yours in such great shape and everyone else's is torn to pieces?" He said, "I wanted my house built right. So I built it myself. And what I did is I went to the Florida building inspector's guide on how a house should be built to pass certification to be storm resistant." So he built his house with these storms in mind. It says in the interview that I read. And he said, if the document issued by the state of Florida said you need a 2x4 here, used a 2x4. If you need, you know, a screw over here, he put a screw over here. And he followed the instructions perfectly. And he said the instructions didn't lead him astray. They said, if you follow them, you're going to survive. Your house is going to be strong. And that's exactly what happened. And that's exactly what the Lord is saying with us. You might not feel it at the moment like that man. You might think, trial's not going to come. Or, you know, bad things won't happen to me. But they do. And the Lord says a storm will come, and you're going to need that foundation. I have a good quote here from a Baptist preacher. It says, "You may lose some windows, and the house of your life may be shaken, but it will not collapse and be swept away. I want to encourage you. All the time that you have invested in laying your biblical foundation will pay off. I haven't already seen the results. If you haven't already seen the results and benefits, I can assure you that one day you will. Building on the rock is the best flood insurance you can invest in. Storms will come and go. You are either in a trial, coming out of a trial, or about to enter into a trial. Nevertheless, if you've built your life on the foundation of Christ, you have nothing to fear. A good storm will demonstrate the stability of your foundation." So there's the wise man who reads the Word of God, who hears these words, and then builds upon them, acts upon them, takes the hard route. And then he gives the other example of the foolish man. And the word for foolish in Greek is actually moros. And And I think we use that in our English dictionary. He's a moron. The moron built his house upon the sand. And the foolish man, the Lord says, whoever hears these words and does not act upon them. So you have an individual that knows what to do. You have an individual that understands the teaching, or in this case, has heard the sermon. So they would be right there in the crowd who heard this whole Sermon on the Mount and what the Lord had instructed in the immediate context, in the larger context for us, someone who hears the word of God, who understands what is right, and yet does not act upon it. So why did the foolish man build on the sand? Well, like we talked about, building on the rock is hard. Building on the rock assumes that storms will come, even though we might not have it at the very moment. Essentially, what this man did is he miscalculated the weather. You know, you go to a beach, most anywhere where it's sandy, it's probably pretty good weather by the beach, probably good looking. It's a lot easier. It's easier to lay the foundation. You don't have to dig deep. It's easy. It doesn't cost as much. It's not nearly as labor intensive. Much easier to take shortcuts. It's probably a lot more of an instant gratification. But ultimately, it will lead to the collapse of the house. In verse 27, the house eventually does come crashing down. So you may not feel it at first. At first, it might be a little shake. It might be something minor. But by the end, the house ultimately will come crashing down. And the Lord says, and great was its fall. And that right there is how he ends this entire long, very elaborate, almost three chapters long sermon, is with a word of warning. He says, if you do it, you're going to be strong, you're going to be good. If you don't do it, I'm telling you right now, so you can't say I never told you, you've heard it. If you don't act on it, I'm telling you two things. One, the storms are going to come. And two, when the storms come, they're going to fall, and it's going to be great. It's not going to be a window. It's not going to be, you know, some bushes or, you know, something like that, your mailbox. It's going to collapse. We sing this all the time at home. You know, the wise man built his house upon the rock. I won't sing the whole thing. But at the very end, you know, at the very middle, they have, and the house on the sand fell flat. My kids all do that. They flat, and they jump on top of each other. Flat, you know. That's their favorite part of the song. They look forward to that middle part. And then interest kind of fades as the song goes on. But that part, they really... But that's exactly what it is the house on the sand felt flat. Great was its fall. It was a big fall. It came crumbling to the ground. So the Lord Jesus says, you neglect my warning at your own peril. So what can we do with this story? Well, I think the immediate context is, are you a Christian? If you are a Christian, you've heard the word of God. You know the right thing to do to prepare your life. And you need to build your life upon the rock of the Lord Jesus. And like we talked about, that requires hearing the word of God, fellowship with other Christians, prayer, growing the relationship, like we talked about building a business, attending conferences or Bible study times, having a mentor or having a time of discipleship is what the Bible calls it, where you can spend time with older, wiser Christians and learn from them. So you want to do that. Why? Because the storms of life are coming, not only in this life, will you lose out on the joy of a relationship? But ultimately, there's the judgment seat where the Lord is going to take into account what we've done for ourselves and what we've done for him, more importantly, in this life. So we need to always have that in the forefront of our mind if you have trusted Christ. But also, I think you could use this to somebody who doesn't know the Lord. Are you building your life on your own? Have you heard about the Bible? Have you heard about Jesus? But you've never acted on it. You've never trusted the Lord. You're building your life on the sand. You're doing it all wrong. And ultimately, it's going to catch up with you. You might not feel like it will, but ultimately, the Bible says it's going to catch up with you. So come to the Lord if you haven't already. The Bible makes it incredibly simple and very clear. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. So there's a twofold message behind there. And what happens after that, to finish out the chapter? The people are amazed. He said amazing things. Wow, that's fantastic what he said. That was good. But they don't do anything about it. And they say, you are spectacular. You teach as one who has great authority. And they're amazed by it, and they don't do anything. Maybe you admire the Lord Jesus. Maybe you admire what he says. But you don't do anything about it. Or you don't trust him. You haven't trusted him as your Savior. Or you don't act upon his words. Don't be like that. It's not going to work out. Ultimately, the storms will come. If you haven't, do a building inspection today of your life. And go through your life just like you would a house and inspect it. Inspect your foundation and do what needs to be done, because you can't change a foundation in the middle of a storm. You can't. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you that you love us, that you gave your Son, the Lord Jesus, for us. And Father, we pray that we would not be like the foolish man who knew what was right and did not act upon it. Father, we pray that we would be, as it says in James, people that hear the word and do it, and not deluding ourselves. Father, we thank you for this time that we can come and study your word. We just pray that you would be with us the rest of this week. Help us to serve you and to love you more. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.